Cheryl and I got married. This day, August 26, 1989. Did I get that right? Yeah, I think so. So anyway, there was a lady that came and got food the other day at our pantry, and I just mentioned to her that I've been married for 29 years, and she looked at me and says, "Whoa." And then I said, "Hey, it's because I have a good lady." So there you go. It's all because I have a lady. Yeah. So, hey, we had like, you know, Friday date, and we had a Saturday date. I mean, we were going crazy. This is great. So nothing today. We're having a potluck. How's that? So on the day, we do nothing. Hang out with you guys. You know, how good is that? So 30, boy, we're going to pull at all the stops next year. So, all right. Well, let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your grace to us. And Lord, as we talk about truths from Proverbs, I pray that we would learn to listen and discern truth from error, your voice from the voice of many other things. And so teach us, Lord, through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. See that? Oh, there we go. So, how good do you hear? How's your hearing? What? What's that? I can't hear. I still can't hear.
Clipboards.
Oh, sorry. Clipboards. Kids, take the clipboards. Isn't that funny? I can't hear a thing. It was perfect timing. Perfect timing. Apparently, I can't hear. You know, actually, this is getting crazier, but I actually booked to get my ears checked just this last week. And I've never had my ears checked in all my life. Never have. And I think I can hear. After this morning, I'm not so sure. And I don't think nothing serious. I just want to kind of a baseline, get a little checkup here. I just don't know how well I hear, because when I talk to my wife and my children, sometimes they wonder. So, hey, I'm getting a checkup for my hearing. Now, of course, today's message is not about whether you need hearing aids. I think you know that. Or whether your physical hearing is not as good as it should be. But hearing is about, more accurately, teachability. Teachability. And so the question maybe is more precisely, how teachable are you? Do you have a desire to learn? Those who fail to listen to good advice from people or from God and His truth would what you'd be called unteachable people, or people who have a hard time being teachable. It's not that they can't hear. Okay? People hear, but it's the next step. They fail to follow up and obey. So there's lots of hearing going on, but the doing is probably what's lacking. So the other day, a friend came by, and he just drops in now and again to chat with me. And he has hearing aids in both of his ears. And the doctor just told him the other day that he is very close to being officially deaf. And so he would have to do something else to improve his hearing to make it better than just hearing aids. So that's pretty serious, right? And so even now he needs to see your face because he reads lips to hear what you're trying to say. And his speech is not clear either, so I have a hard time understanding him because he's been like this since he was young, right? So if you can never hear, then you also won't speak very well. It kind of goes hand in hand. And so this man had, you know, not just hearing problems, he had physical ailments with his back, and he faced social issues and rejection because he was, you know, a little different from the rest, so to speak, as a small child. But through a miracle, his His back was healed in just an incredible, marvelous way, the touch of God upon his life. And so he turned to the Lord in a brand new way, experienced God's grace in life. And so when I talk to this man, he may not be able to hear physically, but I know that this man listens to the Lord. That's why I like talking to him. Okay? We have a hard time communicating sometimes, but he listens to the Lord. And he's impacted by the grace of God. And so every time I talk to him, he touches me. So, how is your hearing? How are your spiritual ears? What do you listen to? Who do you listen to? Sometimes it's not about, that we're not listening, as I mentioned. But maybe we're listening to the wrong voices. We hear things loud and clear, but maybe we're listening to the wrong thing. And so the book of Proverbs, if you haven't been here for the last 3-4 Sundays, we've been looking at some themes in Proverbs. And Proverbs is really about listening to God's wisdom, just very simply. That's kind of the theme, listening to God's wisdom. So Proverbs 1:5 says, "Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance." Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." And so very clearly, Proverbs is teaching us to listen, but who we listen to, of course, is the Lord himself, because the wisdom comes from him. And so listening is about teachability. If you are teachable, you have a willingness to listen to God's voice. But unteachable people would rather listen to other voices. They despise God's wisdom and instruction. So what voices are you listening to? I believe that God speaks because his word says God speaks. And so we have to understand how God speaks to us. And so the most important foundation that we need to understand is that God speaks to us through his word. And we have the gift of his word. It's the foundation. The word of God is the foundation. Paul said to Timothy that in these last days, I don't have this up for you, but I just have the bottom part, but the beginning goes like this. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful and proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, and having a form of godliness but denying its power. So that's how he begins. And then he says, have nothing to do with such people. But then he turns to the positive. Instead, he says, Paul directs us to the Word of God. All Scripture is God-breathed, and it is useful for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training in all righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so God's Word is not just words on paper. God's Word is God-breathed. It's living, meaning his words flow from the person of God himself. Excuse me. In the age today, we live in a time where the Bible is thought simply to be old news, okay? Yesterday's news. But we need to do something opposite. We need to build our life on the foundation of the Word of God. I'm just going to grab my water down here. We need to build our life on the foundation of God's word, because God's word is like a spring of living water, and it's always fresh. It's not old news. It's not irrelevant. It never grows stale. You know what grows stale? Is our hunger for God's truth. That's what can grow stale. It's not the truth, it's not the word. Our hunger for it grows stale. And so the very subject of teachability. If we don't hunger for God's truth, maybe we're listening to other voices. That's drowning out God's voice. Other voices have become so loud. And so maybe we understand the freshness and the relevance of God's word for us each day. So that's kind of the foundation. Proverbs talks a lot about discipline. But discipline actually exposes something about ourselves. It exposes your level of teachability. You face something and then exposes where you're really at in terms of learning. So here's three verses here. Let me read them and then let me talk about them. A rebuke impresses the discerning person more than a person, more than 100 lashes a fool. Chapter 19:25 of Proverbs. Flog a mocker and the simple will learn prudence. Rebuke the discerning and they will gain knowledge. Chapter 21, verse 11. When a mocker is punished, the simple gain wisdom. By paying attention to the wise, they get knowledge. So, in these verses here, we have three different kinds of responses to discipline or challenges in one's life. This discipline could be a rebuke. Someone rebukes you, or any kind of punishment of some kind. Now, in the ancient times, 40 lashes was punishment fit for the very worst crimes. And so the Proverbs say something about more than 100 lashes, and so you know it's a figure of speech. Okay, they're not speaking literally here. It's an exaggeration to make a point. It means that some people could face the worst of all discipline, of all punishment, a major crisis in their life, and still learn nothing. Okay? Still learn nothing. They could lose their jobs over their stupidity. They can get kicked out of school. They could be fined. They could be punished in great ways. But these types of people end up learning nothing. Nada. Instead, what do? Well, typically, they blame everyone else. It's not me. It's someone else. They blame others for their problems, and because of that, they are further entrenched in their old ways. And so, it really is a sad picture of the ultimate unteachable fool. Okay? So, that's kind of the first response. On the other extreme is the discerning person, and this is mentioned a couple times in 1710 and also in 1925. I kind of underline some of those key people here. The discerning person may receive a rebuke. Okay, none of us are perfect. So, you know, we get rebuked or scolded or some constructive criticism or maybe a crisis in your life. Over something we've done, maybe something foolish we did, but all it takes is just one single rebuke, and this person, the discerning person, listens to it. He or she gains new knowledge and understanding about what happened, about himself, herself, and is wiser for it. You know, some people take the hard way, as we say it. But the discerning person grows and learns because he or she is teachable. All it takes is a little instruction. The lights go on. I'll never do it again, etc. And they grow as a result. So those are two extremes. In between, the discerning person, and then the foolish, unteachable person is what Proverbs calls the simple person. Now, the simple person is not as fast to learn as the discerning person, but they are also not set in their ways like the foolish person. They may have to face a bit more disaster or punishment or what have you, but eventually they will eventually gain wisdom and set their change their ways. So, here in Proverbs, we have three different kinds of people. We have a tough, hardened, unteachable person, the stubborn person. And then we have in the middle the simple person, who doesn't get it right away, but eventually gets it. And then the discerning person, who gets it fairly quickly in short order. So in other words, there's different levels of teachability out there among us. The question is, who are you? Who are you? Are you a teachable person? So I think this is a good way to evaluate the kind of person you are, the kind of person you want to be. And you know what? What kind of people would you rather work with? Think about that, right? You want to work with people who are teachable. And so we need to be those kinds of people, helping us understand ourselves. Let me give you a couple more texts from Proverbs. And this is kind of how we respond to correction a little more specifically. Verse 8 of chapter 9. Do not reprove or criticize a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. And then chapter 10, verse 17. He who disciplines shows the way to life, but whoever ignores correction leads others astray. You know, no one really enjoys being confronted, okay? I mean, let's be honest. No one enjoys receiving constructive criticism for a failure or for a fault that we have. We all have pride, don't we? We're proud people. But the unteachable person will respond either through defiant silence, okay? We don't all act the same. A defiant silence is someone who simply ignores what the other person is saying. Or we have the person that says, I hate you, like they're in your face. They get mad. They push back right away. Okay, so you have two different styles. Some people are more, you know what, I'll give them a silent treatment, not a little reaction, but the reception is still pretty cold. So they may quietly put up a wall because they don't want to admit their failures. Some will argue, they will get defensive, they'll make excuses, blaming others, someone else. They end up resenting the rebuke, but not only the rebuke, but the messenger. They end up hating you, it says. But the opposite of this person is the wise person. He is not perfect because none of us are perfect. He needed to be scolded, but his heart is pliable and is teachable, open to advice, and will love. Notice the comparative language. He will love the person who points out their weakness and may even say, thank you. I appreciate the insight that you have given me. I think we would all agree that we would rather work with people who are open to advice. We need to be those kinds of people. So the question is, what kind of person are you? What kind of person are you? There's a key verse found in James 3:13 and later in Proverbs. James 3:13 says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life. But deeds done in the humility, done in humility comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Excuse me. So did you catch the word there? Well, I have it on the screen, so it's obvious, isn't it? The key word is humility. Humility. That will differentiate the person who listens well versus someone who does not listen well. It's humility. Proverbs agrees. Proverbs 11:2 says, "When pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with the humble is wisdom." So pride is what gets in the way. But when there is humility, there is a greater openness to being taught. You know, sometimes we have a wrong view of humility. We think that humility is somehow thinking less of yourselves or having a low view of oneself. But I don't think that's very true. I think C.S. Lewis said it well. He says, "True humility is not thinking of yourself. It is thinking of yourself less." Thinking of yourself less. And therefore, you think about others and what they have to say. So think about this. Humility is the key to teachability. On the same stream here, teachable people, because they're humble, will ask for wisdom. They understand that they lack something, and so they ask for wisdom. So again, Proverbs says, "For lack of guidance, a nation falls, but victory is won through many advisors." And so this is kind of like a statement for leaders and political leaders. You're pretty dumb if you don't have a group of advisors advising you, because you do not know all things, right? Then chapter 12, verse 15, "The way of fools seem right to them, but the wise listen to advice." This isn't about asking people who will agree with you. You know, we're pretty sneaky sometimes, right? So, okay, I'll ask for advice, but who do we ask? We ask the people we know that will agree with us. As the proverb says, we need many advisors. It means actually multiple advisors, to take the word literally in Hebrew. Not just one advisor, but multiple advisors. If we think we don't need advisors, then we get ourselves into deep, deep trouble. We get our company, not just ourselves, we get our company in trouble, the company we work with. We get our church into trouble if we don't seek others' advice. In fact, we get the whole nation in trouble when our leaders don't ask for advice. So wise people, teachable people, are willing to listen to the wisdom of many people. Let me use an illustration from sports. As you know, there is a player-coach relationship in all sports. And the key is often that relationship they have. Because if you're a stubborn player and doesn't want to be taught, you're not going to go very far. So I learned a few things from a few players. And this is what some people said about this guy. NFL quarterback Aaron Rodgers, I think you know who he is, plays for the Green Bay Packers. One of the best pro football players of all time. But they say he still listens to his coaches. So they says, Roger says, "I love being coached. I love talking football with smart coaches. I love the input, the dialogue, the conversation." Then his team head coach says, "Aaron is a very good student. He wants to be coached, and he likes to be coached hard." So it's not a coincidence that the quarterback has had some success. Stephen Curry, a lot of you young guys know who he is, right? Great basketball all-star for, I forget which team. That shows you how much I know about basketball. But anyway, yeah, one of the greatest basketball players out there in the NBA, and he has the same attitude. And so one of his coaches says he is the most educable, yeah, that's a word, educable players I have ever known, both in terms of his willingness to listen, here it is, his willingness to listen, and his ability to absorb and execute. Wow. I mean, that's just a basketball player. So, a little self-evaluation time. Are you humble enough? Are you teachable enough to ask for the advice and the coaching of others? Think about that. Finally, teachable people listen to God's voice. Now we began here, right? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And if wisdom comes from God, maybe we have to learn to listen to the voice of God. So this guy goes fishing for the very first time. And all of a sudden he hears a voice. And the voice says, "There are no fish under the ice." Okay? There are no fish under the ice. This is ice fishing. He ignores the voice and moves to another area. He cuts a hole, tosses his line in, and again he hears the booming voice. "There are no fish under the ice." And he nervously looks up and he asks, "Lord, is that you?" "No, this is the rink manager." Okay, bad one. Proverbs 3:6 says, "Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track." You probably know that verse. I have it in the message, so it sounds really different. "In all your ways, remember, acknowledge him." But here Eugene Peterson throws in the word, "Listen to God's voice." So are you listening to God's voice in everything? You know, today we hear God's voice through Jesus Christ. We hear God's voice through Jesus Christ. How did he do it? He gave us his very life so that we could hear his voice and be guided by his voice. So if you know Jesus Christ, you've surrendered your life to him, he's given you something very, very special. He's given you his presence. The Bible calls the Holy Spirit. Why? So that you can hear God's voice. It's that personal. It's that amazing. Jesus said himself way back in John 10, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them in also. They will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock, one shepherd." So, we're talking about a group of people who are Jesus followers. And they're going to recognize the voice of God. And they're going to follow him because they recognize his voice. Now, this text makes more sense because Jesus said these words in the context of the shepherding culture of the day. And so the good news in Palestine, it is still possible actually to witness the scene that Jesus spoke from 2,000 years ago. Today, there are Bedouin shepherds who bring their flocks home from various pastures that they've been grazing their sheep throughout the day. And often these flocks end up at the same watering hole at dusk with other flocks and other shepherds, right? And so there could be 8 or 9 flocks of sheep all around the watering hole, taking a drink, taking their turn at the watering hole. But these shepherds don't worry about it. They don't worry about any kind of mix-up, mixing their sheep with another shepherd's sheep. When it's time for them to go, all the shepherd has to do is issue out his distinctive shrill or call or whistle, anything particular on their reed pipe or whatever it may be, and the shepherd's
can withdraw, can bring their sheep in, and the sheep will withdraw from the crowd of other sheep. Why? Because they recognize the distinct call of their shepherd's call. They know who they belong to, and they follow that voice. They know the shepherd's voice, and it's the only one they will follow. So in other words, when you and I get to know the voice of God, when we seek Him, when we spend time with Him, when we build a relationship with Him, we learn to recognize and listen only to His voice, and we follow Him. And when we hear His voice is a voice of love and truth. Love and truth. And we do what He tells us, even as there are other enticing voices all around us. You know, you and I know that we live during the time of multiple competing voices out there that have seemed to make God's voice seem rather irrelevant. But just as sheep depend completely on their shepherd's voice for their security, we as God's children must depend on Jesus, our shepherd's voice, even more for our own security. Our heart and mind needs to be tuned into the voice of Jesus today more than ever before. So I ask you, how is your hearing? Are you listening to the right voice? Are you listening to the right voice? Our minds and our hearts need to be tuned into the voice of God, because in that way, our minds are transformed to think Jesus' way. Okay? So let me leave you with the famous verse from Romans chapter 12, 1. It says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world." Why would Paul say that? Because he knows it's easy to do so. Right? He knows it's easy to do so. Instead, he says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And how do you renew your mind? Well, you spend time with the shepherd. You spend time listening to his voice. You spend time in his word. That's how your mind is transformed. When our mind thinks rightly, straightly, truthfully, then it changes our attitude, our way of thinking. And then Paul says, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. That's what we're chasing after, right? Lord, I need to hear your voice, because your voice has your will, and it's the only will that I can trust. Only will, only voice that I can trust. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So ask yourself this morning, how is your hearing? Maybe you need a checkup like me. Spiritual hearing. Whose voices are you listening to? And is it the voice of Jesus? Is your mind being transformed by the Spirit's renewal of your mind, so that both your heart and your mind is being surrendered to the will of God? Make that your prayer today. Lord, help us to know your voice. Lord, forgive us for being duped and seduced by the many voices today that sound so appealing, might even sound right. But we don't ask questions. We don't ask for advice. We don't ask others. We don't consult your word. We're duped by emotions and feelings instead. But instead, may we follow your voice. May you lead us and guide us into your perfect will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, let's worship the Lord in song, and then we will partake in the Lord's Supper in a moment.